I am the God of the universe. I have been walking to and fro throughout this sanctuary this night. I have seen your hurt, your rejections, your disillusionments. You could not enter into my presence through praise and worship because you are too bound by the cares of this world. I tell you, my children, I love you. I weep over you. I weep with you. But I cannot change your will. I am asking you tonight, you know who you are. You are refusing to give me your all. I am asking you tonight to pour all those rejections, all those bitternesses, all those things that's easy beset you. I am asking you to pour them out upon me right now. Give them to me so I can free you, so you can go forth truly worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I know there are those around about you who are trying to figure you out, but they can't do that. Their job is to hold you up before the throne of grace. And your job is to keep seeking my face. And my job is to keep wrapping my arms around about you, letting you know that I love you with an everlasting love. My church is so scattered and shattered. My church is trying to feel their way and they can't find their way. There's no sure footing anymore in the house of the Lord. But I tell you, my children, I'm trying to use you to change those situations. I'm trying to use the young generation to come forth and to show the world that they serve a living Father. Will you open up your heart this night? Will you allow me to come in a special way? I have opened a door, and all you have to do is walk through. I am waiting for you right now. I'm waiting for you to walk through that door of acceptance and accept me as your Father. I love you. I am not rejecting you. I love you. You've heard of my word. You've heard of my Son. But you have not witnessed the true word or the true Son. And tonight I would like to introduce you to him as you stand before me and surrender all. My love abounds, my grace abounds. And my Son Jesus ever intercedes for you. Will you come forth this day, this second, and just pour your all out upon the altar of grace and allow me to change your life forever? That was an open altar call from the Father for right now. If you're one of those that you just don't know where your next step's going to go, God's waiting for you. He wants to gather you into his arms. And he wants to remove all those things that are so easily besetting you. And God is saying, come to the mercy seat. Come to the mercy seat. Do not allow the enemy to have any more inroads into your life. You say nobody understands, but I do understand. But I can't do a thing until you surrender your all unto me, the living God. Brother Christopher is going to start giving the teaching, but please, if you're on the floor and God's ministering to you, don't get up. Let him complete what he started.
God wants to deal with falling away tonight. This is a prophetic word that God gave Pastor Barber in May of 2011. There's coming a day and an hour and a time when those who are called by my name will have to stand up and declare their allegiance to the Most High God. My own will be challenged in the days and years ahead. My own must decide this very instance whom they are serving, and are they willing to die for what they believe and the one in whom they believe. Hiding behind somebody else's skirt will no longer be allowed. Each must stand for themselves and be held accountable. A multitude of believers will be falling away in the near future, for they will not be able to stand the pressures that are coming upon my church and the true believers that are inside the church. Take a stand, little ones, and do not be moved off of the rock, for the rock will sustain you in difficult times of warfare. Some warfare will be very cruel, so you must be prepared now for the future events that will occur within my church walls. The government as you know it at the present will be changing. Listen very carefully to what is being said and do not be led astray by smooth talk. You must become a discerner of what is truth and what is fiction, for your very lives will depend on what you hear and how you hear. Have spirit ears and listen through those spiritual ears. Do not be deceived. Look into my word, for everything is in my word, but you must seek it out. You must study to show yourselves approved, for the enemy, he is sly, and he is wicked, and he is very cunning, to the point that he will deceive some of the very elect. I have spoken and said, spirit calls to spirit. I have said, get so close to me that nobody can come between you and me. I spoke these things for a purpose. Have you heeded what you have heard? Check yourself daily and make sure you are properly aligned with me and my word, for that is what will sustain you in the coming days. You think this last tornado was bad? Watch the next three. They will cause much devastation across the land, and more lives will be lost. I do not want to do this, but my church has left me no alternatives. They have forsaken the true and living God, and they have followed after their own false gods. This was given in 2011, and it rings so true today. The church is really in a mess. And God spoke it and said that it was going to be. But God is raising each and every one of you up to be leaders. He spoke this tonight. You're all leaders. And he's going to use you to lead other people. And you're going to have a sense of security in him that is going to be so calming and so reassuring to the people that they will just naturally follow you. And we all are going to have to be ever listening to the Spirit like the Word said, so that we can be in one mind and one accord and know exactly what it is that God wants us to do in the moment.
I am weeping over my church right now because as of this second, you still do not understand what needs to be done in this universe. I have prophesied about this great revival that's going to be across this land. Many are talking about it, but no one is doing anything about it. I have prophesied that I will have a great coming together of the youth, but that is not happening. The church is not doing her job. The church is not seeking my face daily, crying at the altars for the lost souls. Church, this night is so very important that you grasp the reality of what's going on around about you. America has not yet learned her lesson. You are preparing the way for the second coming of my son, Jesus. I need the harvest to be brought in now. I need you to get rid of the junk that's in your life and allow me to fill you full of my glory and send you forth to compel them to come in to my houses. You are my leaders, but are you listening? You are my leaders, but are you holy and righteous? I look to and fro continually calling leaders. Many are called and few are chosen. I weep over those who I cannot choose. I weep because destruction lies on all sides when you refuse my calling. The enemy is hard at work to destroy you. I am just as hard at work trying to convince you that I will do a great mighty works in and through you. I need you this night to make a decision whom you will serve. You came to my altar and that pleased me. But I am here to warn you, when you walk through the door, the enemy is going to be waiting once again, trying to pull you back into the things that I took you out of even this night. You must at all cost be committed in your heart of hearts that you are going to go forward and not backwards. You're going to go forward and never once look to the right nor to the left. I called each one of you here this night to let you know that this is your night of deliverance from the dark side. This is your night to come totally, completely, 100% into my marvelous light. This is a night that I want to drop my glory upon you, and you become a glory carrier for the Most High God. I love you, and I beg of you tonight, please don't give the enemy any more space. Please keep the doors closed that I closed this night, and walk upright in all of your ways. Speak the truth to the lost and the dying. Tell them the truth of what my son Jesus did for them. And then you show them the way. I will give you the words to speak. You need not go study somewhere. You just need to go forth and I will speak through you. I will pour my love out through you. I will pour the miracles out through you. But I'm begging this group tonight to please heed my voice and allow me to bring you forth into total victory and use you to bring in the lost. The time is short, and not many have yet yielded to me. I truly am in the highways and in the byways, compelling them to come into my house so I can clean them up and use them, because the church has become stagnant. They don't want to move forward. They don't want nothing new. They don't want to change or set in their ways. But I am bringing in the lost and the dying, and they will hunger and thirst after righteousness' sake, and I will be able to use them. And those of you that I called tonight, you're in that group. Will you please heed what was spoken over you this night and follow me with all of your heart from this day forward?
1 Timothy 4:1-5. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth, For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused. And if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. A contributing factor to the falling away is the power of the demonic anointing in the area or region that you live in. There is a force from the enemy that has a magnitude, a strength, and direction that is attacking the remnant churches all over the earth. The body of Christ needs to know that the devil works through a demonic anointing. This anointing is the glue that ties human spirits, demonic spirits, and those who work in darkness together. This demonic anointing comes from a combination of their prayers, their fastings, their sacrifices, and the buildup of sin in the land that we live on. These things give the enemy the ability to move freely in a particular area. If there's no corporate prayer, individual prayer, corporate repentance, individual repentance, and holiness amongst God's people, then the enemy's anointing gets stronger by virtue of the truth that no one is in agreement against it. The same deception that Joe Biden walks in falls down upon the people of this state. And if you're not walking in the Spirit, you're prone to falling into this deception. The same sicknesses and illnesses that Biden has can transfer into us if we're not staying close to God. Sin is deceptive. If you willingly walk in sin, you're opening a door for deception to take you into further, deeper sins. The principalities and powers mentioned in Ephesians 6:12 are not content with just getting people into sin. They want to take you into a state where you deny your relationship with God altogether. The deception that has come across the land is real, and it is tied to end time prophecy. God spoke through his word and declared that some will depart from the faith. Hebrews 3:12. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end, while it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, today. And it's awesome that God had an altar call to call you today. Verse 16, for who having heard rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. God the Father is preparing us to be vessels of honor who will carry his glory into this darkness. This is going to be a non-stop thing. And this is what we have been wanting God to do, non-stop. Every time we meet, every time we gather, every time you're in your home, the glory of God 24/7. You have to come into a maturity in Christ. You have to remember the things that you learned, were taught, and you have to apply them at all times. The existence that we live today, everything builds upon another. The word of God says line upon line and precept upon precept. This means the things you first learned when you came to Christ are not tossed aside. They are added to. You have to start seeing the teachings that God has been giving us are building blocks for the coming days ahead. If you can process this in your mind this way, you will get things faster than what you have in the past. We don't have time to play. We have to be instant in season and out. There is so much going on and there is so much to do. This has to become a lifestyle for every one of us. The days of sitting back and wondering what's happening are over. You're not going to understand what God is doing. You're just expected to run with it, and then the understanding will come. And this is sometimes where we get into trouble because we want to know how God is going to do it, who he's going to use to do it, all of the ins and outs, and sometimes he just wants to do it. It's like tonight. None of this was planned. God did what he wanted to do. He touched you in the way that he wanted to touch you. And we're going to have more of this. A long time ago, God used Pastor Barbara to say we're not going to have church as usual anymore. And you just have to come expecting. You just have to come with the understanding that God is going to do and meet and minister to whoever's here in his place, in his house. And sometimes God may want to use you to be the one to do that. And you need to be open for the Holy Spirit to speak through you and to minister to whoever he has in your path, in your direction. The glory of God is only going to get stronger. It's not going to get weaker. And it's getting stronger because the darkness is getting darker that's around about us. And it has to, in order to fight and destroy that darkness. The good news is that we're going to be carrying that glory. And this darkness is not going to have an effect upon us. There's no reason for any of us to be afraid of darkness. There's no reason for any of us to be wondering, am I going to fall or am I going to get into this? No, because that glory of God is there and it will keep you, it will sustain you. You should be in a place now where looking back or going to the left or going to the right is completely out of you. All of those games are over with. And some in the body of Christ has used those as an excuse to not do what God has wanted them to do. You have to throw the excuses aside and do. We're in perilous times. And just like God said earlier, America's in trouble. The things that took place with the election yesterday are very, very disturbing. And if you don't feel that disturbance in the atmosphere, you really need to seek God and ask him to give you the truth about what's going on. The enemy is trying to deceive us because the enemy is trying to destroy the United States of America. I don't know when people are going to wake up. I do know that we're going to get some destruction. And I pray that that helps us. I pray that that opens our eyes so that we know exactly what's going to fall down upon us. We're going to have to remember when these things happen that God is the one that told us and tried to get us to change our course. But up until this point, we have completely refused as a nation. I don't know. I really don't know. I just know that God knows. We need to be in a state of complete surrender all the time. We need to be in a state where God can use us to speak, to move, to do whatever.
Chris, I know this is interrupting you a little bit, but Chris Lynch had a picture of Fetterman doing a speech, and all the American flags in the back of them were knocked to the ground. And Fetterman said, this is God. It's God's wrath. He's upset with America. I was going to see if they could pull it up, but he's out in the spirit. Did you see it?
No, I haven't seen it yet, but...
But that's a true example of where God's at, even with this election. He's upset with America.
All of the storms that have been hitting have been doing damage and great destruction. If when you look and see, we are being led to a slaughter right now. And we're being led to a slaughter in a way that is causing us to be indebted to the government for everything. This is their whole goal. This is their whole purpose. And the driving up of the prices, the driving up of the shutting down of the fuel sources is meant to put us into a state of poverty. All of these things are being done intentionally and on purpose. It's not an accident. And this isn't about parties, because it's both sides. It's both sides that's keeping us in a state of derision and in a state of just keep them happy. They had this thing, it was called just give them cake. Can't remember the exact story, but you know, whatever you want. If you want a house, we'll give you a house. If you want your school debt taken away, we'll take your school debt away. If you want a cell phone, we'll give you a cell phone. And we're just taking it, taking. But we're not looking at what we're losing. We're not looking at what the government is doing behind the scenes to destroy us. We are really being led to a slaughter. In the church has a lot of fault to play in this, because the church did not want to get involved in politics. The church said, we're going to sit on the sidelines and just let the politicians handle this. But if you look historically, the church has always been a part of politics. The church has always been a part of government. And when you look at the very foundations of any government, who is righteous and holy, it takes holy men and women to run a government. And we don't have that in this country anymore. There's greed. There's corruption. How can you elect in Delaware someone who has been accused and has committed a crime, the attorney general that just got reelected in Delaware? Should have been arrested, should have been put in jail for the crimes that she committed. But Delaware voted her back in over top of someone who was more qualified, person who has a good heart, person who's a Christian. There's politicians in Delaware that has committed crimes. There's another politician who has beat his wife or beat his girlfriend. No one run against him at all. No one stood up and said, I will be in this office. I'll take this seat. And there's more. There's more of these types of things that are going on just in Delaware alone. Can you imagine the whole nation? Perilous times. Brett, can you skip down to 2 Corinthians 11? This is Paul. He's concerned for our faithfulness. Oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly. And indeed you do bear with me, for I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. And this is Paul talking to the church, saying there's no reason for you to be in this level of deception that you're in. There's no reason for you to accept hearing that there's a Jesus out in India and you get on a plane and go see that Jesus. There's no reason for that. There's no reason for you to accept Buddhism and Christianity all at the same time. There's no reason for you to accept the doctrine that there is no hell. These are things that are going on in the church today. We've strayed, and we have to get back together. Matthew 24, verse 10 to 13. And then many will be offended. Offense runs through the church like a wild Tasmanian devil. Everybody gets offended at everything. You didn't look at me. You didn't let me preach. You didn't let me sing. You didn't let my friend do something. You get offended at the smallest thing. You didn't invite me to do whatever. This offense is destroying the body of Christ. It's destroying the remnant. We have to make sure that we don't get into offense. And if we do, we need to choke it out of ourselves, get into forgiveness, and do what the Spirit of the Lord says. Many will betray one another. There's a lot of betrayals that go on within the body of Christ. This shouldn't be going on. We should be brothers. We should be sisters. There should be a camaraderie, a unity. That's my brother. That's my sister. I'm going to help them. I'm not going to kick them when they're down. I'm going to run to their aid. Nope. I found something out about so-and-so. I'm going to tell it. I'm going to make sure the world knows it. And I'm going to put it in the newspapers. It's going to be on the internet just to prove that I'm right and they were wrong. And this type of thinking has to stop in the body of Christ. What are you going to do when they start knocking on doors and rounding us up? Are you going to be the first one to say, "Nah, not me, but I know sister so-and-so, brother so-and-so, you can get them. They're fully committed. Leave me alone. Don't touch me." Betray. And many will hate one another. Hate causes so much damage. It causes sicknesses, illnesses. And people throw hate at one another for the simplest, slightest things. And you're opening yourself up to a demonic spirit to be used to cast that hate on someone else who has no idea that you even have hard feelings against them. Confess your sins one to another. Hey, you hurt me. I'm sorry. Make bonds. Grow relationships. We have to love. You know, God has been giving us messages again about love because he's preparing us to be able to receive the unlovable. But it has to be something that's second nature to us. It has to be something that we just fall into. And it's an automatic response that kicks into our systems. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, lawlessness, you know that there's people that are looting and rioting stores. They're walking into Walmart, taking TVs, taking electronic equipment and walking right out the door. And the amount of thefts that are going on right now are so bad that they're not even sending the police. They're not even telling the people in the stores, the theft and the loss prevention people. They're just saying, let it go. It's not worth your life. Lawlessness. Lawlessness will abound. The love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. We have to endure. We have to stand in the place of holiness and righteousness and do exactly what God wants us to do.